Would you turn to the book of Matthew 13? Matthew 13. And how's everybody? Blessed and highly favored. Glory to God. Matthew 13. And verses starting at verse 10. Thank you, Lord. How many of y'all know that Jesus was manifested to expose the works of the enemy? How many of y'all know he's still manifested? Hallelujah. His spirit is still here, isn't it? Amen. You know, one of the things that we must continue to do is to learn the tactics of our enemy. And that's one of the areas where I really believe the church neglects enough of. That's a wonderful thing about Jesus' love for us. Praise God, I thank him for his love. But one of the things is his love was manifested. His love is light, his love is truth, that darkness could be exposed. Amen? He doesn't want his children to be deceived, does he? He wants us to know. So one of the things that you will hear a lot of is exposure of the enemy, power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the price Jesus paid. Because that's what it's about. Him. Death resurrected. Amen? That's what it's about. In worship, you get his presence. And without his presence, you have nothing. Nothing without his presence. That's why we worship before we go into the Word. In fact, the Bible says the Word became flesh. And then it was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Hello? Then it became Rhema. We talked about this before. Other than that, it was Logos. Praise God. In Matthew 13 and verse 10, would you read it with me? And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." How many of y'all know that it's been granted to you to know the mysteries of heaven? The mysteries of the kingdom of God. Mysteries, things that the world does not know. Isn't that awesome? Do you know that God called you and chose you? That's why you're here tonight. Yeah, little old you. He called you and chose you to know the mysteries of who he is, the mysteries of his power and his presence, the mysteries of his will and his purpose, mysteries. He chose me and you. And he continued on and he said to them, "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and the ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." Oh. So that I should heal them. So we got to understand that hearing, seeing, and perceiving are about healing. Does everybody got it? How many of y'all know what you hear is really not what you perceive? We have a wonderful teaching called false imagery. So we see here that hearing, seeing and perceiving, understanding are a part of healing. It's all a part of healing. And when we lack these areas in our life, we cannot understand. We cannot receive. Hello? One of the things that God wants us to do is to be able to receive. And there is perception or reception. But basically it's perception things that we want to be able to receive. God desires that me and you receive all things from Him. Amen? The Bible says that Jesus gave all things to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave all things for me and you. But one of the things that the people really lack is receiving. They really have a hard time to receive. Many of us are still holding on to the strongholds that we're not worthy. We can't receive. Or it's not for me, it must be for somebody else. That's rejection. You're either in reception or you're in rejection. Amen? Spiritual receptivity. Oh, hallelujah. Spiritual receptivity. That's what I want to share about tonight, because it's important that we learn how to receive. Okay? Let's go on to verse 18. So Jesus explains these things to him, and he says, okay, listen, I'm going to give you a parable. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. And we've heard this over and over and over. When anyone hears the word of God and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who what? Received seed by the wayside. Okay. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while, for with tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So we see that there's three areas of receiving. In other words, you may be able to receive, but what you're doing with it determines what the outcome will be. Amen? But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. In other words, he puts it into practice. He doesn't question. He puts it into practice. Who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So understand something. You're either in receiving or rejecting. There is no in between. You're either in receiving or rejecting. Now understand this. Must be granted, God grants you the ability to understand. In other words, no man comes to the Father unless he's what? Drawn. Well, when you get drawn, he's beginning to give you a desire to understand, isn't he? All of a sudden, you want to understand the ways of God. You didn't know why you didn't before. Man, I don't know why. But all of a sudden, I want to understand the ways of God. I'll never forget I've shared this story over and over, when I came out of detox and this girl was living in my house. And the voice that came to me said to me, do you want to get off of drugs and alcohol, or do you want a whole new life? And I said, I need a whole new life. Well, he said, show me. So I went into detox, and I came home to my house, which was totally empty. Everything was pawned, from washer to dishes, you name it, was gone. I even got rid of the jacuzzi they got out of the back. I pawned everything. I'm surprised the fans were still up there. And I looked at this girl, and I said, you know what? I do not know why, and I don't understand, but you got to go. She said, why? I said, it's not right. And don't ask me why it's not right. I don't understand that it's not right, but I'm telling you, you gotta go. Why? God was drawing me. I had no understanding. I'm telling you, I didn't get it. But I just knew that it wasn't right. I don't know why I knew it wasn't right. But see, when God begins to draw you, He begins to allow you to have a desire to understand. See, I didn't understand, did I? But I had a desire now to want to. Why am I feeling this way? All of a sudden, I want to be a nice person. Wait a minute. All of a sudden, I want to be honest. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. All of a sudden, I want to be truthful. Oh, God, what's going on with me, you know? And I realized by telling the truth, I mean, I would lie about everything. You kidding me? I was, you know, I didn't want people to know what was what. And all of a sudden, somebody said, man, what's going on? I'm an addict. Oh, God, I just said something. You know, of course, I didn't say God. I didn't know anything about it. I probably said something else. I don't want to repeat her tonight. But it was, oh, something. And you can imagine what it was. Mr. Foulmouth. But anyways, I realized that even what was coming out of my mouth was beginning to, man, that ain't right. You know, I obviously there's something. So I went to go see a friend of mine that the Lord put back in my life who I used to ride Harleys with. And he was working at a ministry. And in the printing department, I went to go see him because, you know, he was my roommate. And I walked in there and I said, hey, what the F and what the F and all this kind of stuff. He's like, man, be quiet. You know where you're at? I said, oh, sorry. I thought, well, doesn't everybody speak that way? But then I realized, you know what? I didn't like what I heard. I just, for some reason, man, you know what? You're right. I don't want to talk that way no more. And I don't know why. I don't know why I don't want to talk that way no more. I don't know why I got rid of that girl. I don't know why I want to be honest. I don't know why. But you know, I have a desire to want to know why. See, God began to draw me. He began to change that hardened heart. Something began to happen. See, He was granting me the desire to want to understand. Did I understand? Nope. But I had a desire to. Does everybody understand? Oh, hallelujah. Go to John chapter 1. What was he trying to do? He was trying to give me spiritual receptivity. In other words, he was trying to say, come on, guy, just receive this. Come on. Let me plant some more seed in you. John chapter 1. See, he was wooing me and drawing me to the point where he wanted to give me something. Do you know that God always wants to give us something? But we have such a hard time receiving because we become such boneheads. You know? Well, you know, I really didn't read my Bible enough today, so I really don't have the right to receive anything. Well, who told you that? See, what the enemy tries to do is put you on your own works, what you think you ought to deserve, instead of removing you from the cross and what he paid, that what you deserve. Because it isn't anything we deserve, it's what he paid so we could receive. Amen. But oh man, yeah, man, I'm telling, the enemy's sly, man. He knows, like, get in there and weasel right around everything and begin to mess with our heads. Would you go to John 1 and verse 12, please? Hallelujah. Do you all need Bibles? Why don't you, can you get a couple Bibles? Hallelujah. We wouldn't want anyone to miss the word. If you don't have a Bible, please ask for one. Praise God. Hallelujah. John chapter 1 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Glory. Something's happening even right now. You know that? Can you sense it in your spirit that something's happening? I'm telling you, I just felt like a walk of the Holy Spirit just breezed by me. You're good, Dad. You're good. And John chapter 1 and verse 12, would you read it with me? But as many as what? Oh, hallelujah. As many as what? Received him. To them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh. No, it was not your will. But what? Nor the will of man, but of God. Listen. With reception, when they received Christ. In other words, when you receive Christ, every time you receive something of Christ's way or teachings, there is a reward. See, when they accepted Christ, it says, what was their reward? They became children of God. So when every time you're in the receiving mode, when you're willing to receive, you know how many people aren't willing to receive? Because they're not willing to hear. Amen? So in this here, just look at, he said, look at, as many as received him, not everybody has received him, have they? They had a right. He gave the right that they would become children of God, of those who believe in his name. In other words, with that, there's rewards. In other words, you have an inheritance and you have power over the enemy and all kinds of things. Eternal life, you're seated in spiritual places, heavenly places, you're granted all kinds of spiritual gifts and surprises and all kinds of things. Healings and deliverance. I mean, dreams, visions, tongues, casting out devils, laying. I mean, all these things are a part of the reward of receiving him. Because we are children of the Most High God. Go to Matthew 11, please. Spiritual receptivity. You're either receiving or you're what? Rejecting. Matthew 11, 28. Because he loves us so much, would you read it with me? He says what? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And what? Learn from me. Now, how do you learn? You need a teacher. Hello? For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. No, come to me. Take me. He says, come, take, and learn. Three things he says. He says, come to me, take of my yoke, and learn from me. Three important areas. Come, take, and learn. See, one of the things is, I mean, come on, when we were in the world, we were willing to take everything. Hello. Now the Bible says that there is a table prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. Come on and take it. Take everything that's on it. Why? Because he paid the price. The Bible says that the heavenlies are taken by force. Sometimes you got to go take it. You got to fight for what's rightfully yours. You can't be a weenie. Hello? You got to take it. Sometimes you got to pray through and take it in spiritual warfare. You got to take it. You know, sometimes we got to go in and fight to take our children back. Sometimes we got to go and fight to get our families reconciled. Sometimes we got to fight. Now the battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. But you got to do your part because you're co-laboring. He's fighting on that side. You're fighting on this side. And you're giving each other a high five and taking kingdom. Amen. You're going, yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's get another soul. Hallelujah. Come, take, and learn. You must be able to receive or become something very important. It's called teachable. You must become teachable. Never think that you're not teachable. That's pride, arrogance, and a hardened heart. And we know pride goes before a fall. The moment you think you can't be taught is the moment you just grabbed and shook hands with the devil. Matthew 18. Open-mindedness doesn't mean you agree with everything. I'm willing to listen, but I'm not willing to agree. It better be according to the will of God and the desires of his heart. I better be lining up with the word of God, or I'm not agreeing with it. Hallelujah. In Matthew 18, starting at verse 1, would you read it with me? At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" You think there was a little competition there? I mean, you know, Jesus, they are all waiting for Jesus to say, "Oh, you are." "Oh, you are." Don't. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them. Oh, man, he just blew all their theology. And he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one of these little child like this in my name receives me. But he who causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were drowned in the depth of the sea." I'd say that's God's precious, precious children. The Lord has a heart for children, doesn't he? Amen. Because they're the innocent ones that have to suffer. So we see here, he says, listen, unless you convert yourself, you're converted to become a little child. Now, a child is teachable, all-trusting, and willing to forgive. He is teachable, all-trusting, and willing to forgive. Does everybody understand that? Now, I'm talking about a child is teachable by the Lord, by the Spirit. He's all-trusting in the Lord, and he's willing to forgive. Totally leaning on Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, if somebody steals something from you, right, you forgive them, okay? Does it mean that you let them back in your house? No. Come on, God didn't make us stupid. You know, if you know somebody's an addict or whatever, and he says feed your enemies, right? Okay, so you feed the person or whatever, but you know what they're up to. You may forgive what they've done, but you don't allow them to do it again, do you? That's just plumb stupid. And you won't earn the trust of God. Because there are things that he expects me and you to do. Amen. So a child is all teachable, all trusting, and willing to forgive. To be teachable, you must be humble and able to receive. You know, many of us have been brought up in certain areas of doctrines and so forth. But you know what? We must be humble, willing, and able to receive. We must be open-minded to the Spirit of God and not closed-minded, or we'll miss the things of God. Amen? Go to Job 22. We must be spiritually receptivity. If you're receiving, you're either receiving or what? Rejecting, one or the other. Job 22. 22:22. Bless you. Hallelujah. Now acquaint yourself with him in verse 21. And be at peace, thereby good will come to you. In other words, acquaint yourself with him. Become like-minded. Know yourself. Know him. Know how he is. And what his heart's like. Receive, he said, please, instruction from his mouth. And lay up his words in your heart. So you and I must be able to receive and lay up his instructions where? In our heart. In other words, receive and keep it. Receive it and put it in action. Receive it and practice it. Receive it and use it. Just don't receive it. Don't be one that's nods their head, yeah, be an amen in the service, but when you leave the service, you're a no man. Hello? Yeah, amen, hallelujah, praise God. You go leave the doors and you're totally The opposite of what you've been, praise God for. Amen? Hallelujah. In Psalm 119. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Psalm 119. In verse 33. There's a cry of the psalmist. Psalm 119, verse 33. Would you read it with me? Teach me, O Lord, the way of your what? Your statutes. What did he say? Teach me. You must have a desire to teach me, Lord. Cause me. Watch this, what he says. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. He's making covenant with God. Teach me and I'll keep it. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. So he says, teach me and give me. Then he says, make me. In other words, cause me. Make me to walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Then he says, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Ooh. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word in your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Wow, that's powerful. Turn away my reproach which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Powerful. Some. Teach me, give me, and make me. What do you want? He wants to receive, doesn't he? Teach me. Give me understanding. And make me to know your ways. Do whatever, cause me to know your ways. I want to receive. I don't want to reject. I want to receive. It's incline. Cry from every child is to teach me. Do you know that? Little children, they always want to learn. Amen. They'll ask you 20 questions on the same thing. They won't take no for an answer, man. They want to know what they want to know. Of course, then when you tell them, they're telling you you're wrong. But that's okay. They still want to know. You know, you're just being tested. Show me. Hallelujah. The cry from every child is to teach me. Teach me. Mommy, Daddy, what's this? What's this? Why? Why? Here's the book, read it. But I can't read. But why? You know? They want to learn. They're absorbent. They're sponges. You know, little flesh creatures that are sponges. But they are characters, aren't they? Children are awesome. Awesome. Praise God. I like to go in my daughter's room while she's sleeping. I just look at her and I'm amazed. I'm amazed. The awesomeness of God. You know? I'm amazed that I used to be like that one time. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. First Thessalonians chapter 2. Thank you, my Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 13, I believe it is. First 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Cool. Would you read it with me? For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men. Wow. But as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Now check this out. This word that you received tonight, if you're looking at a man giving it to, then you're not receiving. The word of the Lord that's coming is from the Lord, not from a man. See, too many people, even in counsel, correction, and direction, think they receive from a man because they can't receive. And I think they're, well, that's just your opinion. No, it's the word of the Lord. Does everybody understand that? So many times we just, you know, the enemy comes in because he begins to cloud our reception, our receptivity, with deaf and dumb spirits and all kinds of other stuff. And then we have a hard time receiving. And then we look in another direction. We look at now in a natural state instead of the spiritual state. We begin to forget what the words have already changed our hearts, and things that have come from an individual, but it was coming from God. Now all of a sudden it's not from God. Hello? Does everybody get it? I mean, you know, think about that. But this is very powerful. Paul said, listen, this is great. He says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it. Not as a word from men, but it was a word from the Lord. A word from the Lord. But as it is in the truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. In other words, the word of God is working in you if you received it and you believe it and you put it to practice. Now the word of God is working. What does that mean? There's becoming a change. You know, think about when you first got saved. Oh man, you are hungry. Ooh, I want more of that word. Then all of a sudden people become complacent. The first thing they say is, oh, I already know this. You need to ask, who told you that? Well, I already know this. Once you've agreed with, I already know this, you've hardened your heart and associated with pride and you cannot receive. Well, I've heard this before. Praise God, hear it again. I'm telling you, it's never the same. There's always another level where God will bring you at. Even over the, you can hear the same. If you grab a tape, you hear it one time, I guarantee you hear it again, you'll find different. There's more in it. You hear it the third time, there's even more in it. You could hear it 10 or 20 times and you'll hear more and more stuff in it, and powerful revelation and nuggets that will change your life. It will blow your mind. You're thinking, why didn't I hear this the first time? Because Mr. Know-it-all. Do you ever talk to someone and they say, I know. You want to take the Holy Ghost baseball bat and go, pop! Now I know. I know. No, you don't, or you wouldn't be standing in front of me. And you wouldn't ask that question if you knew. Hello? Number one, we must receive the word of God as it's from God and not from man. That is, this is a principle. I want to share three quick, simple principles. You must receive the word that it's from God and not from man. Tonight, you must receive the word that it's not from this individual. It's not from this man they call a pastor. It's not from this human they call guy. He's a shell. Hello? That's from the Spirit of God, who takes the word of Logos and turns it into Rhema, where it becomes life-changing. But how you perceive it is whether it's going to change you or not. If you perceive it from man, it'll have no effect. If you perceive it from the Spirit of God, the effect is already taking place. Does everybody understand? Oh, hallelujah. So the first principle we must do, we must gain, is to receive the word as from God and not from man. Because if you're not receiving it, you're rejecting it. Go to Acts chapter 2. You know, some people think they need to hear something from God that says, "Hello, this is the Lord speaking." Or after every scripture, "Thus says the Lord." That's not how it is. Acts chapter 2. And it doesn't have to go in rhymes and rhythms, and it doesn't have to be those, these, and thous either. It could be simple. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, I believe. Oh, hallelujah. Now let's start at 38. I like this one. Since it's the word of the Lord. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Have you been called? Praise God. "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly," everybody say gladly, "received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." The first principle is receive the word as from God and not from man. And the second thing is to receive it with gladness. They were hungry. Receive the word with gladness. Receive it as a meal to you, something that's life-changing. Receive it. Listen, if Jesus showed up and spoke to you, every word that would come out of his mouth would be pretty glad to you. The thing is because we get caught up on what we must see instead of what we know. Hello? If the word says it, that's that. First, so receive the word as from God and not from man. The second is to receive it with gladness. Go to Acts 17. Three simple principles. Acts 17. Hallelujah. And verse 11. Verse 10, I'm sorry. Yeah, repented. Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Those were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. And that they received the word with all" what? "Readiness. And searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." So you and I must receive the word with readiness. In other words, be prepared to put it in action in your life. Prepared to make it a part of your life. A practice. And continue to search. Amen. Three simple principles. Receive the word from God. Amen. As from God and not from man. Receive it with gladness and receive it with readiness. In the arena that we will put it into action. Would you go to Psalm 1, please? spiritual receptivity. Psalm 1. Oh, to God be the glory. I usually call Mom and say, Mom, do we have this teaching? She usually tells me, no. Okay. I know I didn't need to call her on this one. Of course, most of the time it's last minute teaching that comes through by the word of the Lord, and we don't get a chance. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So what about someone that walks in the counsel of the ungodly? They're cursed. Nor stands in the path of sinners or liars. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful accusers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Whatever he does shall what? Prosper. Wow. See, he's talking about counsel here, isn't it? Is counsel a word from the Lord? Yes. So if you can receive the counsel of the Lord and reject the ungodly counsel, you will prosper. Does everybody got it? See, when you reject the counsel of the Lord, you go into cycles. How many of y'all want to go back into that cycle? Oh man, haven't we gone there enough times? Going around that old mountain. I mean, you know every stop, nook and cranny, you could probably count every pebble. Man, I'm tired of going around this mountain. Just receive. Amen. Receive and trust. Go to Hosea 4. The demons be singing, he be coming around that mountain when he comes. And he ain't talking about the Lord. He's talking about us. Here he comes around the mountain again. We got him this time. Yeah, they see they all celebrate. If you're not willing to receive, you reject, man, they're singing, he's coming around the mountain. Hosea chapter 4. In verse 6, everybody knows this, right? But I would ask everyone to read it with me, please. Is everybody there? My people, my children, my beloved, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because you have... So they didn't receive, did they? The opposite of reject is what? Receive. And the opposite of receive is to what? Reject. And knowledge means truth, doesn't it? So because you have rejected knowledge, my truth, I also reject you from being priests for me. That's someone who's close to the Lord. How many of y'all want to get close to God? Then you got to be able to receive. Because you've forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. That's a terrible thing. That brings ancestral curses coming down the family line. Do you ever notice that when you get out of line, so do your children? Do you notice when you get in line, so do they? Hello. Reject knowledge. Rejection of God's knowledge, his counsel, brings captivity of the mind. That's the first place that we go into captivity, is in the mind. We get like this. Die. We get dumbfounded. It's called a deaf and dumb spirit. We can't perceive. We can't receive. Does everybody understand? I mean, every one of us in this room has fallen in a character or rejected something from the Lord in some area, whether it be private counsel from between you and him or counsel of the office or whatever, counsel of the world, whatever it is, we rejected it and all of a sudden we became goofy. We became almost like another person. You know? Continence changes everything. It's like, can't receive. What happens is the mind, you go in captivity in the mind. The enemy captivates it, where you're not able to perceive or receive. Go to Proverbs 9. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 9. How many of you have all heard some of this before? Praise God. Was that a trick question or what? Hallelujah. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 9, starting at verse 7. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name, Lord. Would you read it? He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. And he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of His Holy One is understanding. Wow. So he says, teach a just man and he will increase in learning. That's called maturing. Amen? Maturing. Go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Praise you, Master. In verse 32. Well, let's start at verse 31 while we're there. Did you bring your Holy Ghost eraser? Good. Verse 31. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instructions despises his own soul. In other words, he who rejects instruction despises him. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. In other words, you're willing to receive counsel, correction, direction, or rebuke. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. Wow. Heeds correction gets understanding. No understanding. How many times have people called things they don't understand wicked? How many times our ministry has been called a cult? Of course, we had a letter that went out one time. Brother Wade was doing the letter, you know? And instead of cul-de-sac, he put under a cul-de-sac. So, you know. Praise God, he's glowing now. You could turn off the lights and Wade would be glowing. But you know, people, I'm telling you, if there's something that people don't understand, they think it's evil. That's it. I don't understand the gifts of the Spirit or why you guys praise and worship. This must be a cult. Then they begin to accuse and do all kinds of stuff. You know why? Because they can't receive. And they call the things they can't receive or the things they can't understand evil. And it gets them in trouble, doesn't it? But I'm telling you, we've had all kinds of stories that have come across our way. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Timothy 4, please. Praise God. 1 Timothy 4. Oh, I love you, Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I know it's in here. Here it is. In verse 1. And we've heard this many times. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times. Are we in the latter times? Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Real simple. They're going to listen to because they're not. They're going to reject. Let me share something with you. If you reject the word of the Lord, you accept the word of the devil. That's deceiving spirits. Hello? That's where you listen to the deceiving spirit. You accept, you're receiving from them. Then they begin to speak to you and they set up their own doctrine. Now it's a doctrine of demons. Amen? And next thing you know, you're shooting off at the mouth or doing whatever goofy thing. What happens is they fall. It says, and they will fall from the faith. Let me share with you about falling from the faith. That's falling from the purpose, vision, a vow that you've made, or His will. It doesn't mean that you're running from Jesus, even though you are and don't even realize it. But it's falling from the purpose He has for you, the vision He has for you, the vow you've made with Him, and His will. That's falling from the faith. Is everybody with me? Ephesians chapter 4. Spiritual receptivity. Sounds like an intellect teaching. Thank God we're all foolish. But He confounds the wise with our foolishness. We give this teaching to one of the professors in the college. It'll take them months to try and get it. Because they can't understand the things of the Spirit. They'll try and intellect it and tear it apart. And they'll come up with a conclusion that will make no sense. But they'll call it theory. And then they'll translate it from theory to truth. And it'll bring people in bondage. That's how they operate. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 9. Now let's go to verse 11. Is everybody there? Come on, read it with me. For He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, His desire is that we come to the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children, immature, rejecting, and all the other things. But we don't get tossed to and fro, carried away about with every wind of doctrine, trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, being led astray. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In love. That's why God gives offices. It's not about an individual. It's the office of the Spirit. Amen? It's the office of the Spirit. And you'll know them by their fruit. Go to John chapter 12. So does God want you to fulfill an office? Absolutely. Oh, hallelujah. John chapter 12. In verse 48. Ooh. Okay. You better hold on that one. Let's start at 44. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Then Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in Me believes not in Me, but in Him who sent Me. And he who sees Me sees Him who sent Me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in Me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. But you know, a second coming is judging. Hello. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Wow. The word, in other words, what are they? He's talking about rejecting his word, isn't he? See, either you receive. So rejection brings judgment. Does everybody understand that? Rejection brings judgment. Go to Hebrews 12. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Rejection brings what? Judgment. Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you, Lord. Spiritual receptivity. That's a label weight, okay? Oh, hallelujah. Spiritual receptivity is to become teachable. Hebrews 12, 25. God willing. Would you read it with me? See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. I'm telling you, there's a shaking going on big time right now. It's the hand of God that's doing the shaking. His hand's in it. He's allowing people to be moved by the enemy. We may look at it as, man, you're deceived. No, it's God's hand allowing. Well, I'm going to do a teaching on this next week probably to bring real powerful revelation on this. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Hoo-wee. Go to Malachi 2. Malachi 2. Are you a priest? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's start at verse 1. Would you read it with me? And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear. Oh, is everybody there? This is very powerful. I want everyone to see this. It says, this commandment is for you. Now, if you will not hear, if you will not take it to what? Heart. In other words, Malachi 2, verses 1 and 2. If this this is commandments for the priests. How many all priests and priestesses? Amen. That's the first office you must fulfill and maintain. He said, listen, if you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you did not take heed or take it to heart. Let me share something with you. We'll go a little further. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and I will spread refuge on your faces. the refuse of your solemn feasts, and the one will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, because that's the tribe of priests, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him one of life and peace, and I gave them to him, that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. He's talking about the Lord, isn't he? Amen. But listen to this. He says something very powerful. In other words, if you will reject my counsel, if you will not take heed to my word, I will put a curse on you. The Bible says, blesses a man who trusts a man and curses a man who trusts in man. Blesses the man who trusts in God and curses the man who trusts in man. Amen? He says, I will put a curse on you and I will curse your blessings. Believe me, you will find your blessings begin to go. You'll find your blessings begin to go. Those blessings will become cursed. They will not be protected. You know, something happened powerfully last night. Somebody tried to steal my truck. Actually, there was a few of them trying to steal my truck. My truck was a blessing. It was donated and so forth. I got some rims on sale, threw them on there, made it a little shiny and so forth. In other words, it was just a truck. Anyways, I guess they got in through one of the back windows and put it in neutral and pushed it out of my driveway and went across the street. And thank God, Z was on his way to work and he saw them. And God gave him the boldness to walk up to them and gave him wisdom of what to say, because they might have been carrying guns and they could have killed him, but he knew exactly what to say. He went around the cordon and he called for help. In the meantime, I woke up with Big Larry in my bedroom going, Pastor? And it's pretty wild, because I didn't go to sleep till almost 1:15 last night. I could not sleep. I was restless all night. I'm like, Lord, what's up? I'm thinking, what's going on? Is there something you want to tell me? I didn't hear nothing. Okay, then I'll do what I'm supposed to do. I did spiritual warfare, applied the blood of Jesus on everything. Well, they broke a little part of the council, which cost $25 or something like that, plastic to repair. Other than that, they couldn't get nowhere. Of course, they wiped all their fingerprints off and everything. And so when I went out there and with them and with the police, and they were taking all this information, and I was just thanking the Lord. And I said to the officer, because I have a license plate on the front. I said to the officer, I said, didn't they read that? And he says, what? I said, well, it says Jesus, eternal protection. I said, they couldn't take this truck. The far they could get was out of my driveway across the street. They couldn't get anything further, because my dad promises I am protected in every way. That truck was not damaged anywhere but a few little things inside. They can be easily repaired. And it's got an alarm in it. I just never knew how to work it. But I'm telling you, I'm going to learn how to work it now. Praise God. So I'm receiving. And I'm going to put it into practice. See, not only will you receive the curse, but God will curse your blessings. And you'll find everything turned to garbage, no matter what it is. Does everybody understand it? Now, listen, you'll find things just break left and right, but you know what? I'm not saying things won't break, but then you'll have to pay for them. My refrigerator just went out, but you know what? It's under warranty. I'm like, powerful. In other words, no matter what the enemy tries to do, it's protected. Is everybody with me? Because what God blesses you with, as long as you stay in line with him, he keeps it. You don't have to. Same thing with your children. Oh, to God be the glory. See, what did he say? Listen what was going on here. He turned the blessings to curses if he can't hear or receive. Amen. Then you reject. When you reject counsel, it brings a curse. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I said to the officer, I said, what do they want with this truck? He said, well, it's got nice rims. I thought, you can go buy them at the store. What's the matter with you? They're cheap. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 through 5. Would you read it with me, please? Is everybody all right? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure sound counsel. They will not endure. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Let me tell you, there's a lot of enduring right now. I know something big is about to happen for what I've been going through in the last 3 months. It's got to be bigger than I can ever imagine. It's got to be enormous. See, they search out teachers that will agree with their philosophy. What they are doing is they're reacting. I want to talk a little bit about this. They're reacting to the rejection of counsel. There's a difference between reacting and acting. People either will react or act. If you're in a reacting mode, hello, you're reacting your old man into the present. If you're in the acting mode, you're acting in the way of Christ, of the new man. Reacting brings the reactions from your old man to the present. Now listen. They will search out teachers that will agree with their philosophy. They are reacting to the rejection of their own counsel. Act is according to the new creation. React is according to the old man. Many react because they won't receive. Because to them it's offensive. And when they become offended, they react in retaliation, running, grumbling, accusing, and so forth. All kinds of works of the flesh. All to protect or promote self. Is everybody with me? Do I need to repeat that? Has everybody got it? So you're either reacting or acting. Amen? In other words, you're responding. You're either responding or reacting according to the old man or according to the new man. And that depends on how you are able to receive or perceive and everything that comes from the Spirit. You're either receiving or rejecting the things of God in everything we do. I was called to a meeting. I had to come to a meeting. And when I got into the meeting, I shared with the individual. I said, you know what? I'm not here to defend myself. I don't need any defense. But I'm here to shut the door to the enemy, but not to defend myself. I don't need any defense because I fear God and I reverence Him. And every motive and every decision I make is in reverence and fear and discernment of who's motivating me to do it. My God is always going forward. He's always doing something new. He does a new thing. He makes things better. Sometimes you got to get rid of the old to get to the new. That's why He says get rid of the old skin, right? And put on a new wineskin and get filled with new wine. Why? Because He's trying to bring us to another place for things that are better. Amen? And you're going to have to do a little suffering. Now, I'm not talking about self-afflicted suffering. Hello. I'm talking about persecution. I'm talking about all kinds of garbage. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Amen? Go to Ephesians 4 again, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Remember, people speak evil of things they do not understand. Yet the deception is They're mature and they know it. Believe me, none of us knows it. We don't know it. Only He does. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Would you read it with me? This I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work of all cleanliness with greediness. Is that associated with self? Yes. But you have not learned or matured, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, the master teacher, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. In other words, quit reacting and start acting. The old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, begin to act, which was created according to God in true holiness, or righteousness and holiness. Spiritual receptivity. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Oh, to God be the glory. One more scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we've heard this over and over and over. But it's okay. We won't say, oh, I know this already. In verse 1, would you read it with me? But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Oh, praise God, I love perilous times. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. In other words, they can't trust God. And from such turn away. For this is the sort that those who creep into households and ministries and make captives of gullible women and children and so forth, and load them down with sins and led away with various lusts of selfish and greed, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, they can't go any further. Now is Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses. What did they do? They rejected, didn't they? So do these also resist or reject the truth or the counsel. Men of corrupt minds. Why? Because they've gone into what? Captivity. Disapprove concerning the faith. They've lost vision. They've broken vows. Is everybody with me? But they will progress no further. They're back sucked in that cycle again. For their folly will be manifested to all, as there's always was. But it says, listen, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch, and so forth. And out of them, all the Lord delivered me. Amen? This is what's happening around. In other words, they cannot progress any further. They go back to the old ways of cycles. And I want to close somewhere here. Psalm 27. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Receive, perceive, and put it into practice. Psalm 27. In verse 11. Oh, come on, let's read this. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Okay, good. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed or received. Hello? That I would see the goodness of the Lord. In other words, I would see it through. I got that vision still. in the land of the living. What does he say? Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord, I say. I say, wait on the Lord, and he'll make the way. Amen? Amen. Everybody got it? Let's repent. Father, we repent for rejecting everything that you have tried to give us, have given us, corrected us, counseled us, chastened us in any way. Lord, repent in every area of not receiving and becoming dull-minded, dull-hearted, hardened-hearted in any area. Lord, forgive us for not committing vows, losing vision, and not trusting in you. We ask tonight, Lord, that you restore us to our first love, which is you. Restore us into your presence, and that your perfect will and kingdom continue to manifest. Father, I apply the blood of Jesus on the seeds that have been parted here tonight, that they grow and bear fruit for your glory, that you'll remove those who've been brought into captivity of their mind, and that this seed will burst forth to bring the mind and heart and will and the desires of Christ. I bless each and every one here, Lord, as you can continue to keep them and become a consuming fire in their lives as you go before them, destroying their enemies and their own nets while they escape safely. That wherever they step, that kingdom will be manifest, and whatever they speak, your word will not return void. That healing and deliverance will not only flow through them, but it will rescue souls who are in need. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen.